The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Stephanie Toops. How's everybody doing?
Great.
Did you have a good weekend?
Had a great weekend.
Did you? What'd you do?
Yeah. Picked up my kid from summer camp.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Nice. But you still had the other two at home.
So I did.
You didn't get a complete mother break.
Oh, no, we didn't get a full break. We just shifted our focus.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but it's so funny. I was reading, and I know Jo Lane, this is one of her, like, she kind of like it. It kind of bothers her a little bit like it does me. You'll see these guys, you know, that are real big on social media will post what they do for the day. And I was reading one of them last night. I get up at 3:30, you know.
Yeah.
First it starts out with I go to bed at 7:30. I'm like, that's right about the time I'm doing dinner dishes or doing laundry for the next day. You know, I usually get into bed, and that's with a concerted effort, you know, around 10 o'clock if I'm lucky.
Oh, that's right? That's pushing it hard. That's my target, but man, it's usually slips to 11:30. Yeah.
Oh, so you're not getting up at 3:30 to meditate? So you're playing golf at 7?
I read an article about that this weekend, that that's like the cool thing to do. Like everybody says that now, like the CEO of Apple gets up at 4. And Trump gets up at like 4:15, and Jennifer Aniston. I just read this article, but they were saying like it really that's not so great for you because you need the sleep, you know, unless you're like this guy going to bed at 7:30, and who can do that?
You should not go to bed before the sun goes down. I'm sorry.
I agree with you.
Circadian rhythm. We didn't invent it, y'all. It's part of the earth, and you need to follow it. And I don't even believe in the time changing, you know, that they do in America.
Yeah.
There's a couple of states that don't participate, though.
I think it's Arizona.
Yeah.
And maybe South Dakota, because I feel like I always get a couple hours. Interestingly, my parents live in both those states, so they are always like 2 hours off. And So it's a couple states like that. Maybe Nevada. I don't know.
The Dakotas are so beautiful. Yeah. They really are. North Dakota's where
North Dakota's where I grew up.
Missoula? Have you been to Missoula?
Missoula's in Montana, but it's beautiful.
Have you been? Obviously you have. Yeah. I want to go there after reading Stephanie Land's book, The Maid.
Yeah.
I really want to go there. I want to check it out.
What makes
it so special?
Well,
Missoula in particular.
Well, it's just beautiful. I mean, I don't know. And then the people are awesome too. They're just laid back, salt of the earth kind of folks. Uh-huh. And I don't know.
What's the population there?
That's pretty small. And I think Missoula is where the college is, if I'm not mistaken.
It is.
Yeah. And so it's a college town, you know. I think it's probably, I'm going to be totally wrong, but 50,000 or 100.
No, that's probably about
75,
right?
Yeah,
roughly.
I was going to say 50, 100. You know, and I think that's a sweet spot. Personally, I think that's a sweet spot for a town.
I love
that.
That's about what the town I grew up in was for many years.
Where it's not so small that it's not 3 stoplights, but it's not so big that you're lost. It's just a good size.
My dad was the beer man in town. He was open. This is before 7-Eleven when I was a kid. Al's Market, a pizzeria and sub shop. And he was open at 7 in the morning till midnight, selling beer, milk, and bread, and a couple of other staples. He was the inventor, really, of the convenience store in upstate New York. And then 7-Eleven came to town, went 2 blocks away from our family business, and put us out of business. So
that's tough.
Yeah, because they underbid on the prices.
Undercut the price.
Yeah. But you know what happens. Funny memories of a small town, though. I love small towns.
Yeah, I love small towns too. I think it's just a great.
Were you born in a small town?
I was born in Boise. Boise, Idaho, baby. I was born in a small town. She's going to play that later.
I know she is.
Man.
Diamonds all over it. Yeah. Well, you know, we've got a fantastic show coming up with you today and Dr. Dom DiAgostino. Stephanie Toops is a consumer advocate professional, particularly focused on safety in food and personal care products. Today, we're going to be talking about contaminated water crisis. And Dr. Dominic DiAgostino, we're going to be talking about doing keto and ketones and migraines, so you're not going to want to miss it. And what do you think about the lights going out in New York for 7? Are some people still out?
I thought so. In fact, I was talking to my parents about this yesterday, too, because
you're a prepper.
Yeah. So I hadn't heard what actually caused it. Do you know what caused it?
No. I have no idea, why.
Yeah. I don't know, but all I know is... It's for all of us.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
I have always said that if you want to create chaos, you take down our power grid, because mm-hmm. Most people are not equipped mm-hmm. to operate without power.
That's because you're a prepper. So,
oh yeah.
What's the number one thing a prepper? Okay, top 5 things you need to do to be prepared. Other than get a generator, right?
Yeah.
And have some gas.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
To run the generator.
You need to have a generator. You need to have some fuel. You need to have the first thing you do if you don't have ice. You need to get ice immediately to keep, have some coolers with ice. If you're trying to maintain your food for a couple days or something mm-hmm. like that, or if you're, it depends on how big your generator is and what you've got. But ice is really good if you can grab that right away. You want flashlights with batteries, or if you've got solar powered stuff, those are really great things to have. Mm-hmm. You can keep your phone.
I've got
charged.
A radio that you spin to keep it.
I have a hand crank radio too.
And,
yep.
Yeah. You know what? Your power's out. Guess what? You're not going to, you still have internet, just not on your.
No.
Well, no.
Unless you have cell service.
Unless you have cell,
but a lot of times the cell
don't.
Towers are down.
Yeah. Good old radio, never going away.
Yeah.
It's the original social media.
It is.
And original communication.
Everything comes back around.
It does. It comes back around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I like those, way to start fire if you need to start a fire.
You got to start a fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And your whiskey and cigarettes.
And your whiskey and cigarettes for bartering,
for sure.
That's right. That's my number one right there.
Yeah.
So you should always have, so if you're going to prep, you want to have a couple cartons of cigarettes.
Yeah.
Maybe a case of whiskey.
Yep.
With the ice, you got to get last minute.
Yeah.
Or you could buy an ice machine.
If you have, then you're going to have to, you could hook that to your generator. If you could, but that's going to take electricity. So, and again, that's if
you can't live without water, though. You
got to
have water.
Yes, water. Water's good. I keep water tanks, big water tanks that we trade out every couple months. It just kind of depends on if you're dealing with a couple days or if you really think you've hit an apocalypse type thing. But most people are not equipped. And the power was out here a couple weeks ago. We were down for a week, and it was it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
You're not – even I was not, quite ready for that,
Yeah.
So it was hot. Was the problem.
Yeah. No, I can't sleep when I'm hot.
No.
I don't think anybody
does.
That's
a Texan's worst nightmare, the AC going out.
Yeah, it is. Most of us are not equipped for that.
We're not
screened in our sleeping porches. So.
Oh, my gosh. There's so much to talk about. There is. Look at all this stuff I have in front of me. One of the things that I thought was really interesting, we've talked about 5G, the 5G mm-hmm. network multiple times, mostly with Dr. Gabriel Cousins. But I just saw this on the cover of What Doctors Don't Tell You, which look at the cover story, Protect Yourself from Pollution,
which
is kind of what we're talking. It is what we're talking about today. All kinds of pollution. That includes the 5G network. It says that Brussels is the first European city to block the rollout of the new 5G cellular network because it doesn't meet safety standards. Other cities around the world are expected to follow suit, including 21 local government authorities in the U.S. that have already passed legislation to restrict the new network's spread. Brussels Minister for the City's Environment, Céline Fremont, said, "I cannot welcome such technology. If the radiation standards which must protect the citizen are not respected, 5G or not." So, interesting times that we're living in.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. And what courage that takes to be the first one. I love when the first, the person that's willing to stand up and say what everybody's already thinking, but don't have the cojones to do it.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I love it.
Yeah.
So many things. We do a lot of that here.
Yeah.
But we've got a great show coming up, everyone. And you're going to love Dr. D. Agostino. He is brilliant. He was introduced to us by Sean Wells. Sean Wells is out of town right now. Wish he was here. Everyone, stay tuned. We've got a great show coming up. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. KetoMed.com. Honest Hemp. Happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barriento, Stephanie Tubes, and Dr. Dominic DiAgostino. He is a tenured associate professor at the Department of Molecular Pharmacology and Physiology at the University of South Florida, Mosani College of Medicine. He is also a research scientist at the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition, that's the IHMC. His laboratory develops and tests nutritional strategies and metabolic-based supplements for neurological disorders, seizures, cancer, and metabolic wellness. He was a research investigator and crew member on NASA's Extreme Environmental Mission Operation, the NEMO 22, and Dr. DiAgostino's research is supported by the Office of the Naval Research, Department of Defense, as well as private organizations and foundations all over the world. His website is ketonutrition.org, and it's such a pleasure to have you back. How are you doing today, Dr. DiAgostino?
I'm doing well. Thank you. It's great to be back again.
Well, you know, it's always great to have you in studio, and it's always great to be discussing keto. The ketogenic diet has become so popular for so many reasons. I want to start by asking you if you can refresh us on the ketogenic diet and explain what ketones are and what role they serve.
Absolutely. Sure. So the ketogenic diet, the date that I think it really is, you know, was legitimized as a metabolic therapy was in the early 1920s at Mayo Clinic and later at Johns Hopkins. The diet was designed to metabolically manage seizures. And today it's used for drug-resistant seizures. But back then we didn't really have anti-seizure drugs. So it was actually the standard of care for people with severe epilepsy. And as time went on, pharmaceuticals came up and they largely replaced the ketogenic diet. But now we use, when the drugs fail, since the ketogenic diet is proven more efficacious than drugs for most seizures, when the drugs don't work, we go back to actually what works better. We use the ketogenic diet. So it is still the standard of care and works remarkably well. When you are in a state of nutritional ketosis, it mimics the state of fasting ketosis in many ways. It suppresses the hormone insulin, and that literally changes your metabolic physiology to burn more fat and ketones. And the ketones replace glucose as a source of energy for the brain. Your brain still uses glucose, but it uses less of it, and it starts to use ketones essentially as an alternative form of energy. And this also changes the neuropharmacology of the brain. So neurotransmitter systems change, brain energy systems change, and for reasons we don't completely understand, this does very well at managing seizures, independent of the etiology, meaning independent of the different type of seizures, the ketogenic diet tends to work very well. And that has always fascinated me. So we tend to work. Our lab is actually focused on a broad variety of seizure types and neurometabolic disorders. And we focus probably about 50% of our time and energy into treating those kinds of things.
It's also fascinating, the science behind it. And you know, you said nutritional ketosis. And so I want to ask you this, because the percentage of protein in a ketogenic diet is truly so vast, because you get foundations like the Charlie Foundation that educates about epilepsy, Alzheimer's, and cancer, reporting that 6% protein is a therapeutic percentage of protein, all the way to, pick one of the
25,
all the way to 25 and 25%. So there's a huge range there. What, in your opinion, is truly the therapeutic, if you will, state of ketosis, the amount of protein you should be consuming?
Well, it's a good question, and it depends on the, what you're actually treating. It depends on the individual, and it depends on the type of diet too. Mm-hmm. The modified ketogenic diet could be upwards of 30%, as you mentioned. Yeah, 25 to 30%. So 6% though is low, and it can actually be pretty dangerous. I think for a developing child that needs extra protein for normal development, there may be some slight advantages to getting into ketosis. It may be good to initiate someone with a ratio that's more skewed to that, you know, lower protein, just because the ketosis is kind of, but I think most people, the general consensus nowadays is that we can be more liberal with the protein than we thought we had to be. And we can incorporate more types of what we would call ketogenic fats. Mm-hmm. So long chain fatty acids do convert to ketone bodies, but not as much as, for example, if we start incorporating and replacing some of those fats with medium chain triglycerides. Mm. And for most people, they are well tolerated if they are titrated into the diet and incorporated with the food. So so you have different, the different ketogenic diets would be the 4-to-1 ratio, and that's about 87% fat and about, you know, 10% protein to 12, and like essentially no carbohydrates. 4-to-1 ratio, 3-to-1, 2-to-1. The modified Atkins or modified ketogenic diet is like a 1.5-to-1. And just, you know, to put that in percentages, that's like 70 to 75% fat and about 20% protein and about 2 to 5% carbohydrates.
Wow.
And then you have, you know, low glycemic index diet, MCT oil based ketogenic diet that's a little more liberal with carbohydrates. So clinically speaking, there's a lot of different types of diets, and one individual may be able to transition off of like a 4-to-1 diet to a modified ketogenic diet for compliance. So that's very common, especially as a child progresses from, you know, into an adolescent and then ultimately into adulthood, if they need to maintain the diet, they can transition to a less restrictive form. Surprisingly, some individuals like Charlie Abrams can actually wean completely and the seizures never come back. So in that way, the ketogenic diet has been labeled as a therapy that is in some cases curative to epilepsy, whereas drugs, that has not been reported with drug therapy.
It is interesting, and you use the word curative. And so I read somewhere that there, and it's speculation. I don't know if it's been 100% proven that someone who is on the ketogenic diet, let's say a child with epilepsy, they can actually shut down the epilepsy and be, as you said, almost cured from it. If they're on the ketogenic diet for a certain amount of time, they could get off it and still keep the seizures at bay. Is that true?
Yeah. So when you follow a therapy that restricts or prevents seizures, you are ultimately putting the brain into an environment where it can heal and grow new connections.
Wow.
And those new connections are connections associated with normal brain activity, and the person would be less likely to have seizures later on. If a person has a seizure, so seizures beget seizures, right? So when your brain has a seizure, it fires a neural network that, if that neural network is repeatedly fired with progressive seizures, those network connections tend to strengthen, the connections between the neurons, and so seizures will beget seizures. And so if you decrease the amount of seizures people have, that can help the brain essentially restore homeostasis, a normal pattern of electrical activity. But and it happens much better with the ketogenic diet. If someone does drug therapy, I believe that it sort of impairs the brain's ability to restore normal homeostasis. Mm-hmm. So even though you're not firing that network pattern that's associated with that seizure, even though you're suppressing those seizures, they may be happening at a very low level that you're just not seeing it. And then the brain is not really in a healthy position for lack of a better term, to actually rewire and become a brain that does not have seizures. So in that way, and it may be an age thing too. As people age, the brain goes through various developmental changes, but mm-hmm. it has been observed that kids on the ketogenic diet can transition off the ketogenic diet. Whereas with drugs, if you transition off drugs, you often get like a rebound effect.
Oh, yeah.
And get more seizures, which is like the opposite.
Right.
So that's why I think, neurologists really need to appreciate that. I think the ketogenic diet is grossly underutilized today.
I agree.
I just met with a neurologist this weekend, at Johns Hopkins, and we were at a conference in Washington, D.C., and they have had so much success. Eric Kossoff and the entire team there, it's a growing team of people. They mm-hmm. treat pediatric population and adults. And when you see the success stories, there were patients also at this conference. It just reminds me, wow, this is still not, I live in the ketogenic world, so mm-hmm. it just seems very obvious to me. But the large majority of neurologists or epileptologists out there, this is really just the last resort for them.
Yeah. And those drugs for epilepsy are so powerful and so damaging. They really are. I have a friend actually who was at my house the other day, and he's got a little 2-year-old daughter that's has multiple epileptic seizures I guess it's been about a year when they start developing. And it's just so sad. And I was telling him about the ketogenic diet, and I just wish that more parents out there were more aware of how therapeutic it can actually be to shut down diseases like epilepsy and even all the research that you've done on cancer and Alzheimer's, all these things that are so destructive and kill people. And it's
yeah, for sure. That people view the diet as something that's kind of like outdated, a bit draconian, it's difficult uh-huh. to follow, but today, I had a Facebook message today on my feed from Mike Dancer. And if you just Google Mike Dancer and epilepsy, you get an amazing story mm-hmm. of an adult who had severe terminal epilepsy, and he adopted the ketogenic diet, got off all the medication, and got his life back.
Wow.
I love stories like that. Yeah. And he has been a vocal advocate of the ketogenic diet. He spoke on behalf of various organizations like Matthew's Friends, which is like the European counterpart to the Charlie Foundation. So they work together. So adults can do this too. I mean, it's kind of easier in the pediatric or sort of child population because the adult makes all the food and mm-hmm. is feeding the individual.
Yeah.
But adolescents can be really hard, that transitional period. Kids can feel ostracized if they're on some, mm-hmm. Strange diet. And adults, it's actually harder for adults. But the group at Johns Hopkins has very good success with treating adults with the ketogenic diet. And there are modified forms of the diet.
Yeah.
And also ketone ketogenic foods and ketone supplements too are emerging. The science behind that, and we do quite a work in that area, a lot of work, and we're beginning to recognize that there are adjuncts to the ketogenic diet or things that could further enhance the therapeutic efficacy of the ketogenic diet mm-hmm. by elevating blood ketone levels and keeping insulin and glucose stable. And that could be very therapeutic, but we need to do the clinical trials. We actually have a trial for Angelman syndrome that's ongoing, recruiting and treating patients now. But we need to do it with all different types of neurometabolic disorders and epilepsies to make this therapy more feasible.
Well, you've done so much work, and so many people have been helped by it. And the ketogenic diet and ketones, we are talking today, if you're just now joining us, with Dr. Dominic DeAugustino. He is a tenured associate professor in the Department of Molecular Pharmacology and Physiology at the University of South Florida Morsani College of Medicine. He's a research scientist at the Institute for Human and Machine Cognition. This man, he's very, very brilliant, particularly when it comes to the ketogenic diet. So I have to ask you, how can a ketogenic diet or ketones help those who suffer from migraines?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways that they can help with migraines. And it may be a certain type of migraine that's most responsive, but I think the research going on right now may help to elucidate that. But we know from the sort of EEG readings and the science of migraines and headaches, that they are kind of like a mini seizure, right? And there's the etiology of headaches is sort of something that's under investigation. So mm-hmm. we don't know from most people exactly what triggers migraines, but we can say there are a range of different things that contribute to migraines. And it's a disruption of potentially neurotransmitter systems, of energy systems in the body. There is inflammation. So systemic inflammation in the body can trigger neuroinflammation,
mm-hmm.
and that can cause the release of certain cytokines, and certain cytokines in the body are inflammatory molecules that could have a vasodilation or a vasoconstriction effect, can increase reactive oxygen species, the free radicals, and then ultimately impact brain energy metabolism. So mm-hmm. these things are not sort of in isolation. They are very interrelated.
Mm-hmm.
So energy metabolism, oxidative stress, inflammation, you know, blood flow as it relates to vasodilation or vasoconstriction, mm-hmm. and then glutamate too.
Yeah.
Pretty much all seizures are associated with glutamate hyperexcitability. So glutamate is an excitatory neurotransmitter,
mm-hmm.
and that can cause areas of the brain to fire dyssynchronously, and that can trigger various changes in brain energy metabolism and also vascular function and inflammation
mm-hmm.
that could be triggering a seizure.
Well, you
know that the ketogenic diet can lower glutamate and raise GABA, a more calming.
I love GABA.
Yeah.
It helps me sleep better.
Yeah, it's very powerful.
It is.
And many anti-seizure drugs, drugs that have side effects like vigabatrin, for example, are very effective at treating seizures. Some of the more powerful ones are, but they tend to have, you know, side effects. I think vigabatrin, one of the side effects is that it can cause blindness in a subset of people.
Wow.
So this needs to be recognized mm-hmm. that you can, I've actually measured neurotransmitters on myself, and we can do it in the lab too by taking out, you know, pieces of brain tissue from our rodent models, and we see that it activates glutamic acid decarboxylase or GAD65. It activates enzymes that can convert glutamate and reduce the level of hyperexcitability of glutamate to make more GABA, more of a calming brain stabilizing neurotransmitter. And we're doing that not with a drug. We're doing that by changing our metabolic physiology, which changes the brain chemistry,
mm-hmm.
which brings the brain more in balance to the way it should be.
Well, and you know,
nutrition.
I love that we're talking about this. It's so fascinating. And I hope that some certain people that I know that suffer from migraines that I would say are kind of skinny fat, but still don't realize that yeah. they may have inflammation in their body based on the diet that they eat. I feel that that's so important. And it is true, right? You can have inflammation in your body and still be really thin, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I've definitely seen that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, people can have like chronic inflammatory disorders and still be. And that can also be associated with various disease states, too. Right. Mm. With cancer, there's tremendous amount of muscle wasting. It's called cancer cachexia, and their inflammatory markers could be off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
But even in a normal, quote unquote, healthy person. Yeah, they could be in a state of chronic inflammation and be a normal, healthy weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always great to have you on the air with us. Anything else you want us to know before we go off the air?
Well, just real quickly, you know, I think it's also an area that this may pertain to ketones for treating migraines would be for traumatic brain injury.
Oh,
and headaches.
Yeah.
And I'm serving, I'm serving on two different panels for the Department of Defense, the Congressionally Directed Medical Research Programs,
wow.
where we are reviewing proposals that actually look at this. And I think it's an emerging topic because I think 80 to 90% of soldiers and people who have traumatic brain injury, like a penetrating traumatic brain injury, will have severe crushing headaches. So that population, I think, has a lot to benefit. Our military population has a lot to benefit from using ketones. And also the gut microbiome. So there
mm-hmm.
are parabacterioides and another species that's associated with the ketogenic diet changing the gut microbiome And it takes about 4 days, at least in animal models, and that can trigger the seizure. So that's an area we still need to understand a lot more about. But I'm just throwing that out there because I think future research may lead us mechanistically to the things I discussed, but also changing the gut microbiome.
Well, I know everyone out there listening is enjoying this broadcast right now, and we're going to go to break. I hope you'll come back again sometime real soon, because I just love this science. It's fascinating speaking about it. You know, we have so many people out there that need your help. So thank you so much for jumping on the air with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, everyone. You might want to listen to the podcast later or tell your friends about it. Go to oneliferadio.com. That was Dr. Dom DiAgostino talking about keto and migraines and all kinds of things. So stay tuned. We've got Stephanie Toops coming up. You're not going to want to miss it. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Well, I never lived the dream of the prime kings and the drama queens. I'd like to think the best of me.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. KetoMed.com. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorn Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. There we go. You want to sing it?
I think I'll let him sing
it. Oh, you go ahead. Go ahead. It feels good to sing on the air.
Small town.
Who cares if you're in
a small town?
There you go. It feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
You got to stretch yourself, right? Oh, my gosh, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I knew she'd pull that song out. Aviana Barrientos and Stephanie Toops. If you're just now joining us, Stephanie Toops is a consumer advocate professional, particularly focused on safety in food and personal care products. She became fascinated with the industry when she was diagnosed with a thyroid autoimmune disorder while pregnant with her second baby. She's always been fascinated with education and holds both an undergraduate and master's degree in accounting and finance from Texas A&M University. She's also a certified public accountant and has owned and operated numerous businesses in the Dallas area. Love having this girl in studio. Today we are talking about the contaminated water crisis. Okay, let's go. Go about this. You know, I had articles pulled last week that I wanted to talk about that I didn't get to. You know, one of them is from a Union of Concerned Scientists, Science for a Healthy Planet and a Safer World. Congress must act on toxic water. And this is a headline, strong policy solutions to toxic chemicals in our water. That's what our communities want. And that's what Congress has an opportunity to do immediately. Scientists are speaking up to ensure that that happens. Okay, what do you want to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the biggest crises of our times, you know.
Yeah, because we have to have water to live.
Yeah, water's sort of important, you know. And I just, you know, I think people, it's one of those stick your head in the sand kind of things where people think, oh, we can just dump trash or we can just dump whatever and it's not going to get into our groundwater supply. It's not going to impact us. And we're really getting to the point where we're seeing that it's pervasive.
Absolutely.
And I think most people take for granted that our tap water is safe. And I think it's being proven that that's really not the case.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think of all the stuff that's dumped into our earth, like glyphosate at the top of that list.
Yep.
It's all through our water. It's in our cereal. It's in everything.
Yeah.
It is in everything.
Yes. And I think that's what's interesting to me is we can have 10 different conversations about what's in our water. Glyphosate or triclosan or PFAs, or I mean, like, it's multiples of different things that are leaching into our water and that then we are all consuming and we're bathing in and we're, you know,
we're
using,
killing our bees.
Yeah. I mean,
we're not even going to have bees. And if we don't have bees, we're not going to have food.
We don't have anything. Yeah.
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 Okay. So let's talk about PFAS. Let's focus on that. What should we be worried about with them?
Yeah. So PFAS are just, you know, they are part of, you know, when you think of like Teflon or flame retardants, they are heat resistant, they're flame resistant, they're oil resistant. So they've been used in a lot of products over the years. As flame retardants, you know, in things like packaging. And so they are really becoming pervasive. They're getting into our environment through groundwater, through items that are dumped in landfills. And then, you know, that those chemicals leach into the earth. PFAS are really dangerous. They can impact significantly fetal and child development. They impact, they're very strong endocrine receptors. So that means it impacts the hormonal balance of your body.
Mm-hmm.
Thereby, you know, it can be a really big impact on fertility.
And isn't it having an effect on male sexual organs?
Yes,
or something?
Yeah,
you've touched on that before.
Yeah, I mean,
has that got everybody's attention?
Yeah, some of these chemicals will actually convert male tadpoles to female tadpoles.
Whoa.
And so, I mean, that's a big, big.
Whoa. That's a big
problem.
It's a big problem.
Yeah. So PFAS are dangerous for that reason, is that they're highly impactful on the human body, and they don't biodegrade. So that's another thing. These chemicals that we're using, that we're developing, don't degrade, or they take so long to degrade that they might as well not degrade. So,
well, and aren't most of them made from fossil fuels?
Yes, for the most part, there's only so much of that.
Even read an article. Where is it? I had it pulled somewhere that we're actually even running out of sand because we are extracting it from the earth faster than it can reproduce with all the buildings that we're building all over the world. I mean, there are skyscrapers, high rises being built to, I forget, what was it? Like 12,000 of them in China in the next 10 years, or 8,000, something like that. I get all this information too from Nature Magazine, by the way, which is a highly accredited international weekly journal of science.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about the countries of China and India and the population of those places, and that, you know, up to this point, they've been well behind in terms of their economic development or their just industrial development. And then you look at what's happened in the U.S. and you imagine that translating over to populations of those size, that's going to be an explosion of...
Just, I don't know where to begin to clean up the earth.
It's wild.
Well, and here I'm reading this. This is out of Nature Magazine, too, the International Weekly Journal of Science. It says that pollution cover-up, local governments in China have been fabricating environmental reports, helping companies to conceal illegal dumping and deceiving central government inspectors, according to a report by the country's environmental ministry. This is also from Nature Magazine. This is about emissions. This is on climate change. Emissions to push heat to extremes, the odds of exceeding or even smashing temperature records. Records will only increase if greenhouse gas emissions continue to rise. It continues over 22 climate models. It goes on and on. And then the one about the sand. I mean, it's nonstop. We had the power outage in New York City over the weekend. No one really knows what happened, but we really need to be vigilant about everything that we are doing to the Mother Earth, because without Mother Nature, we are all totally screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's super important. And I think it's, you know, to your point about the cover-ups with government and industry.
It's about the money.
We've seen that here in the U.S. We're going to continue to see it in these developing countries. And, you know, somebody at some point has to step up. And there's been a lot of discussion. You know, this has all kind of popped up again recently, kind of in the U.S., because there's been some more studies done on groundwater. And they're finding that there's, you know, intense pollution. And so there's bills that are coming out and people are trying to pass some legislation, but somebody has to be the leader, to the point we talked about earlier. Like, someone's going to have to step up. Someone's going to have to, you know, be the first person to make stringent regulations.
Maybe and our then president?
And then it's got to be worldwide. I mean, it's got to be worldwide. I mean, we have to all kind of look at each other and go, this is our planet.
Yes, we need a plan. We need we need leadership and we need a plan.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more about this contaminated water crisis going on all over the world with Stephanie Toops. We're going to continue talking about it. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. KetoMed.com. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, and Stephanie Toops. I want to let you know that you can listen to our radio show anytime at our podcast at oneliferadio.com. Just download and listen to it. And you also can subscribe to our newsletter. You also can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Honest Hemp, Keto Med, Nature's Plate, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and of course, Thorne Research. We have a dispensary with all of their supplements at our website at oneliferadio.com/Thorne. You click on it, you get 20% off, and you know, most of our sponsors offer discounts. Keto Med, $40 off and free shipping. Sun Warrior, 20% off, and also you can get it at Vitamin Shop or put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. And Honest Hemp, visit them at honesthemp.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. And again, we thank all of our sponsors that bring this great programming to you. I really appreciate them. I do, because it's important that we educate ourselves and have, you know, an outlet for some real truth in media that's not influenced by pharmaceutical dollars. Let me just say that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very true statement.
It is a very true statement. I was just reading something in this little thing that I have in front of me. I'll have to look for it in a minute. But it was very interesting how much money lobbyists are paid to influence what happens in Washington. And it's really wrong.
Well, and we were having a conversation about this a little bit earlier. But to that point, so many people just take what they see as face value.
Right.
Like they don't look beyond.
Well, because
nobody,
they want to trust.
Yeah. They want to believe that what they're being told or what they're being is being put in front of them, what they're reading is the truth. And unfortunately what I find, and I think what you find, is that you have to look under the rug a little bit more. You have to do a lot more of your own digging.
Yeah, you do.
And you have to question
everything.
You have to question your doctors. you just have to question all that stuff.
I unfortunately.
Mean, you have to be your own advocate nowadays.
Our society is driven by greed. Yeah. It's unprecedented. It really is in our culture now. And it's unfortunate. And so you have to do your homework.
Yep.
And we do a lot of it for you, but you should still do your own to know that we're not full of it too. So, you know, check it out. Read as much as you can and check it out. Anything that you're in question about. Stephanie Toops, always great to have you in studio. We're talking about contaminated water, the contaminated water crisis in America. Okay, so if you look at the map, there are areas where concentrations of PFAS in drinking water are more than prevalent. Why is this? What is going on?
A lot of it's military based, so it's really high concentrations around military installations.
Really?
Yeah, again, this is used in a lot of flame retardants and firefighting, a lot of those types of things. And so a lot of the military, there's a lot of contamination around military installations.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So PFAS, we were talking about that right before the break. So they got rid of PFAS and then they replaced them with...
Okay, so that's BPA.
BPA. I'm getting
BPA,
my
BPA. They replaced BPA with BPS. BPA is
See how
it's
confusing
similar,
it is?
No, I know it is. I know it is. BPA is most people have heard this because everything now is marketed BPA free.
Right.
But you're still buying.
But you're still buying it. Most of it is now made with BPS, and BPS is a chemical which is very similar to BPA. Most likely has very similar qualities to it, probably does the same kind of damage. And so it takes someone else picking up that fight in order to get, you know, complete safety. That's why you really just don't want to drink out of plastic bottles.
Right.
I mean, you really want to be using, or, you know, you want to be using.
What about the fish?
Yeah.
Don't they have high concentration levels as well?
Yeah, microplastics, because really all the plastics that we're producing, we produce an inordinate amount of plastics, but they break down into microplastics, which are infiltrating our water, infiltrating our fish, you know, our sea life. Yeah, I mean, there's just plastic is everywhere and it's contaminated with a lot of this stuff.
Wow.
So the only way to clean this, you know, when you talk about, okay, well, how do we fix
let's
this?
Have
right?
How do we fix this?
What do we do?
Solutions.
So really what they found is at this point, it's like a charcoal filtration system. So it's expensive and it's difficult, but, you know, it would require for groundwater, like it would require pumping water and then filtering it through like intense charcoal filtration. But as the average consumer, you know, if you're sitting here listening to this and you're like, well, I'm worried about my drinking water. Mm-hmm. You know, I let my kids drink that. I cook with it. You can do charcoal filters. I mean, most of us have charcoal filters on our refrigerators or whatever it is, but you can get like a whole home filter. You can filter the water into your house if you want to reduce the amount of toxins that are coming in your just public water.
Yeah, and there's so many toxins, even your home. We've discussed multiple.
Yeah.
I mean, even your kids' pajamas with the flame retardant materials. Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's almost overwhelming.
Yeah.
It really is. And we don't want people to live in fear. So what are some of the top things that people can do?
I think, you know, pajamas are a good one. I mean, and you don't, when you think about something like that, like, you know, they spend half their day in them. So just buy organic pajamas. Use organic cotton, okay, because it's going to be right up against your skin. So you use organic cotton pajamas. When you're looking for, I think mattresses are huge. Mattresses are huge. And so now there's a number of really great companies that are out now that are organic mattresses that don't contain PFAs, that don't contain flame retardants. So when it's time to switch out your mattress, look for a cleaner brand of a mattress. I mean, I just think it's little by little. You know, nobody's saying you have to throw the baby out with the bathwater because that becomes overwhelming and intimidating.
Well, there's even chemicals in the baby diapers,
right?
And in the towel. I mean, you gotta, yeah.
But yeah, I think you just start with when you have to replace something, you look for the better option at that time, and you always vote with your dollars. So vote with your dollars.
Yeah, and speak with your feet.
Yeah.
All right, always great, Stephanie Toops. Great. How do we find you on Instagram?
I'm Toopsy Turvy.
Toopsy Turvy. Yep. All right. I love it. I love that. Everyone, you know what? Thanks so much for listening. What a fun show. Hope you enjoyed it. You know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there and make the most of it.